You are about to hear Wall Street, The Other Las Vegas, by Nicholas Darvis, narrated by Will Stoff. Preface. 10 years ago, I bought my first share of stock. 4 years ago, I added up my winnings. I had made $2 million in the stock market. A publisher asked me to write a book about it, and I did. More than 400,000 copies of How I Made $2 Million in the Stock Market were sold. Its impact was so great it caused the American Stock Exchange to change its rules. I was invited by one of the largest Wall Street investment banking and brokerage houses to form a Darvis Mutual Fund. A politically ambitious attorney general, encouraged by unhappy brokerage houses, began a front-page investigation that ended in the obituary columns when I agreed not to sue him for libel, and he and I agreed that I wouldn't act as a broker. I have received thousands of letters. Almost everyone wanted tips and advice, and I kept saying to these people, I don't necessarily know how you can make money. I only know how I made it and continue to make it. My publisher suggested that I write a second book about my experiences and observations of the stock market. I decided to do just that. For since I started in the stock market more than a decade ago, I have learned other things besides the making of money. Standing back and observing the scene, I began to see Wall Street as it really was: a gambling house, people with dealers, croupiers, and touts on one side and winners and suckers on the other. I had been a winner and was determined to stay one. So I began to acquaint myself with the workings and the workers, the myths and the mysteries that swirled around the second but bigger Las Vegas. I reckoned the odds and learned how to cut down on them, and this is my story. One gambler against the biggest gambling house in the world. Now, let us enter the casino. Nicholas Darvis. Chapter 1. The Casino. The scene is the crowded oak room of the fashionable Plaza Hotel in New York cocktail time, May 28, 1962. Outside, heels click smartly along Central Park South. Traffic roars. Inside, surrounded by people in animated conversation, I am quiet. I sit in my favorite corner, opposite the door, sipping a planter's punch, doing a little mental arithmetic. On the margin of the newspaper on my table, I write a sum and enclose it in a neat rectangle in bright blue ink. $2,450,000. Nearly $2.5 million. Incredibly, this is the amount that I had realized in Wall Street in just 7 short years. By just the greatest part of it, $2,250,000 was made in just 18 months. It hardly seemed possible. I should have become used to the idea of being a millionaire by now. I had already written a best-selling book about my Wall Street experience. I had been the subject of fantastic publicity, articles in Time magazine, in Barron's, the Bible of Wall Street. Slick magazines had published cartoons about the dancer wizard of the stock market. Comedians and columnists and commentators and the amazing sale of my book had made my name familiar to an audience which had never seen my dance act at the Latin Quarter in New York or the Coconut Grove in Los Angeles. It had been a fascinating, wonderful game, with some amusing highlights, like the time I found myself without change in Rubens and gave the head barman, Warren, a tip on the stock market instead of the 75 cents I had intended to give him. The tip was on Automatic Canteen. He bought it at 31 5/8, sold it at 40, and made a profit of about $800. Not a bad tip at that. I had even stirred up a hotbed of controversy. Was it really possible for a layman like myself, a dancer who admittedly hadn't known a put or call from a bump or grind when he started, to plunge in where expert economists feared to tread and come out $2 million ahead of the game? It was not only possible, it had happened. And other things happened too. The American Stock Exchange altered its rules and suspended the use of the stop-loss orders, apparently to curb speculators trying to play follow the leader, or follow the dancer in this case. But all of this was water over the dam. What had triggered my memory into action as I sat in the Oak Room on that May evening of 1962 was the front page of the newspaper on which I had just made that neat little notation of my net assets. And what I was really thinking was, Darvis, you are a lucky man.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?